This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The government of Pakistan said today that a man named Abdul Qadir Khan is being questioned about possible Pakistani support for Iran's secret nuclear weapons program. Abdul Qadir, or A.Q. Khan, is sometimes called the father of Pakistan's atomic bomb. He is one of the most famous men in Pakistan and also one of the most secretive. Increasingly, international suspicions have fallen on Pakistan for providing help to secret nuclear weapons programs in North Korea, in Libya, possibly even Saudi Arabia, as well as Iran. And A.Q. Khan has become the prime suspect in the eyes of Western intelligence agencies. NPR's Mike Schuster joins us now. And Mike, first tell us a little bit about A.Q. Khan.
Well, first off, Robert, A.Q. Khan is not a nuclear scientist. He's a metallurgist, and in the 1970s he went to work for a uranium enrichment company in the Netherlands. Sometime around 1976, he left work there and was hired in Pakistan to set up a research laboratory. By the mid-1980s, his lab had figured out how to enrich uranium to bomb-grade strength using a method involving gas centrifuges. And since then, it's become clear that A.Q. Khan started this uranium enrichment work using plans he stole from the company in the Netherlands. As a result of this and a good deal of canny public relations in Pakistan, A.Q. Khan has often been called the father of the Pakistani atomic bomb.
Of the Pakistani atomic bomb, the questions now are, did he also sire some other countries' atomic bombs? What evidence is there that he actually helped other countries acquire nuclear technology?
Well, this is the question that various international investigations are focusing on at the moment. It's believed that over the past some 20 years, A.Q. Khan traveled to North Korea and Iran and possibly other nations. And the suspicion is that he or his subordinates were instrumental in making deals with North Korea, Iran, possibly Libya, to sell them gas centrifuge technology. Western experts have seen some of the centrifuges in Iran, and they believe they're the same as the first generation of Pakistani centrifuges. In both Iran and now Libya, officials have said they purchased the centrifuges from intermediaries, but that could easily have been arranged with A.Q. Khan's participation. The deal with North Korea is also believed to have taken place in the late 1990s as a barter arrangement. Uranium enrichment technology from Pakistan goes to North Korea. North Korean missile technology goes to Pakistan. A.Q. Khan is believed to have traveled to North Korea possibly as many as a dozen times. He says he never traveled to Iran, but others say that he did go there as far back as the mid-1980s.
Well, let's say when A.Q. Khan traveled to North Korea, or if he did, if he traveled to Iran, was he presumably traveling as Abdul Qadir Khan, entrepreneur, individual agent, or was he traveling as Abdul Qadir Khan, agent of the Pakistani government?
This answer is hard to get at, Robert. Experts I've talked with are trying to figure out whether Khan himself made these deals for his own reasons, mainly monetary enrichment, or whether he had the support of the Pakistani government, or at least a portion of the Pakistani government. The current government of General Pervez Musharraf insists it does not condone or support the proliferation of Pakistan's nuclear weapons technology. But Musharraf came to power in a coup only 4 years ago. Before that, A.Q. Khan worked for several Pakistani governments, both military and civilian. They could have supported these deals, or the Pakistani intelligence service could have supported these deals. And as you know, because Pakistan is not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Pakistan's leaders may have rationalized that it was not illegal under international law to share their nuclear secrets.
Do we know, by the way, whether A.Q. Khan is politically an Islamist, or is he simply a pragmatist, a businessman? What do we know anything about his?
He may be all of those, Robert. Different people say different things. He's been quoted in interviews as favoring the Islamic bomb as far back as the mid-1980s. But experts that I've talked to who actually have met him believe that his primary motivation is money.
He is one of many, in this case he was a metallurgist, but he's certainly one of many engineers and scientists who were able to acquire nuclear technology precisely because the United States and other Western countries wanted to disseminate nuclear technology around the world, no?
That's right. As you know, recently was the 50th anniversary of the Atoms for Peace project declared by President Eisenhower in 1953. In the early years, the 60s and 70s, yes, there were many companies in the West that sought to outdo each other in exporting nuclear power plants and research reactors. But by the mid-1980s, it became known that Pakistan was seeking a bomb, and as it turned out, A number of other countries, Iran, North Korea, Libya, probably started their bomb programs then. So in the two decades since then, the United States and other governments have been trying to keep this genie in the bottle, but so much of it had already leaked out that it gave governments and individuals like A.Q. Khan the ability to spread the technology around, and that's what we're seeing now.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Robert.
NPR's Mike Schuster.